This episode of TMS is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 20% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code MORNING9. Coming up on TMS, big disappointment with the Big Mac Big Onion.
Breaking Bad breaks out this week.
That's one way to get a nose job.
What the bones of dead people say about them.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are now agents of rating success.
Aaron Paul thinks his career might be over, bitch.
I don't know. There's like Jewish guy in there a little bit.
I liked it, though. Therapy Thursday.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Oh, yeah, and Jerry joins us for a while.
That's me. It's the color I've always wanted. That's me. That's my color. That's my color. New permanent shampoo and hair color from Technique. Everyone's talking about it.
That's my color. Now I'm a real blonde.
It really covers gray. I picked brown and got brown. It's easy with That's My Color. So right for you, you'll say, that's me. That's my color.
One of my nuts is sticking out.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream, better than a straw tart blueberry pop torch.
Well, did it again, muted the microphone like a big dummy. All right, everybody. Hey, welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is The Morning Stream for freaking Thursday, September 26, 2013. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett, and we are back.
Hello.
Hi, Brian.
That was probably the best timed commercial and thing you inserted in. So, like, we're doing the opening read, and you say, oh, and Jerry's going to join us for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the opening lines of the commercial, that's me.
I didn't notice. Hold on.
That's me.
Oh, you're right. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to do that. Wasn't on purpose. By the way, how dumb is this girl sound? How dumb is this?
Now I'm a real blonde.
Now these are real boobs.
Oh, my gosh.
I pick brown and got brown.
Anyway.
Well, that's what you hope.
Yeah.
You hope that when you pick brown.
You get brown, right?
You get brown.
You don't want to pick brown and get red. And you don't want to pick red and get brown. Trust me on that one.
I picked black. Tomatoes aren't supposed to be black.
Another Jesse Pinkman-esque impression of that guy.
Right.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hey, what's going on? It's the Morning Stream, and it's time for us to end the week on a high note. Whatever. The whole week was good. What am I saying? There's no low notes to go out on a high note from. It's all been great. It's all been fine. We had a challenge this week, and it started Tuesday, I guess. And the deal was we were supposed to, you and I have this goal on, or no, it was Wednesday.
Oh,
no, it was Tuesday. You were going to go out and get a Big Mac.
Yes.
And so was I. And the goal was something different, though. We were going to ask, so we had been told that you could order a Big Mac and not get those stupid little monkey booger onions on it. You could get like a full-on ring, like a red ring onion.
Exactly.
Red ring onion?
Red ring of death. Well, you would just get a big onion. You'd get, because they have the big onion slices now for some of their other sandwiches.
Yeah.
And for their cheeseburgers and Big Macs and things like that. Quarter Pounders, I think, all have the little slivered onions. Dehydrated / rehydrated.
Yeah, which is, if you mean shitty, I agree. If that's another word for that, I agree with that. So they're supposed to be, so supposedly this is a bit like going to an In-N-Out and saying, I want, donkey style or whatever. And they bring you, some weird cacophony of mixed whatever.
They take you out back and...
I would like it donkey style.
Kidney punch you.
Exactly. So... we decided to test it, and you went and did your duty on Wednesday or Tuesday and did it. But then when we got to the show yesterday, I had completely spaced it. I completely forgot that we were supposed to do that. So it didn't happen. And I decided to make up for it yesterday. So I went yesterday. Now I'm going to play how I want to do this is I want to play the audio of me ordering it. So you see what my expectations were in the car.
Okay.
And then I want to hear how your results went. Then we'll rope back to what mine turned out to be.
Oh, this will be great.
Okay, so here we go. Here is some audio. Me at McDonald's last night about 7 o'clock p.m. getting a Big Mac with the big onion. So here you go.
Please place your order.
Hi. Do you guys... I'd like a Big Mac combo meal.
Sure, you
Okay, can I stop there for one second?
It's like the, hey, can I take your order?
Yeah, how would you like that?
How would you like to put that?
It always happens to me. I get switched genders, and sometimes two or three people, every time I go to anywhere with a drive-up. So that's just a note. All right, here's the whole thing.
Thanks. Please place your order.
Hi. Do you guys, I'd like a Big Mac combo meal.
Sure, you want that at a large fry?
Yeah.
And what kind of drink?
Let's do Coke. And is it possible on that Big Mac to get the big red onions?
Okay, you want the constant just big onion?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Wait, pause for a sec.
Okay.
So wait. What did he ask?
This is where it gets fruity. Okay, so let's play that again. Let's hear it one more time.
Okay.
Wait.
Big onion?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, you want the custis just big onion?
Yeah.
Now what does that, the custis big onion? The
I don't know. That's
I don't know what he said.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just said, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Big onion?
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
I know. You want me to go drag it on the floor for a little while and put it on your burger?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yes. I'd be the worst I'm the worst in foreign countries. They could be telling me anything.
Right.
Oh, you want just me to
and smile.
You want me to jam pine cone up your butt real hard? Yeah. Yeah. All right. More.
Hold on. Okay, anything else, sir?
I think that's it.
Okay, that'll be...
Oh, wait, isn't it getting...
Okay, that'll be 709, first window. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, order complete. I've asked for big onion. He came back with sort of that answer.
You want the consciousness of a big onion? Similar to something Irony Man said in the tadpole.
That's funny. You want the consciousness of an onion? Love it. That would be great.
By the way, next time... I'll try to do this too, and I'll try and record it if it happens.
Right.
So next time they pull the whole gender switch on you, you change your voice when you come back and answer. So, hi, welcome to Burger King. May I take your order? Yeah, I think I'd like a Valley Meal number one. Okay, and what would you like to drink with that?
How about a Coke?
I'm totally gonna do that, and I'm gonna record every order I ever take until it happens. Which for me won't be long. It'll probably be the first one because this happens to me all the time.
It happens all the time. I think one of those is a recording. I think the initial one might be a recording.
So here's the deal then. Well, let me know. So I want to hear how yours went. You went, you ordered.
All right. So I did a similar thing. Went through the drive-thru. So we have this thing. Whenever the Broncos win, you get a Big Mac the day after for a buck.
Whoa, weird.
It's like a hell of a deal. So I was like, all right, you know what? I'm getting just the Big Mac. I'm not going to get, because that's what they want you to do. They want you to spend the money on the fries and the drink.
Right.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have a salad at home, and I'm going to have water.
And
I'm
going to top that off with the Big Mac.
I'm going to chin beard this up with the Big Mac.
Okay. All right.
Cheap Big Mac and then balance it out with sides and a drink that are way healthier.
Sure.
So anyway, so I go and say, you know, I say, I've got the key tag for the dollar Big Mac. I'd like to get that, but I want to get the big onion on the on that instead of the slivered onions.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, and it's a similar thing. It's like disappear for a second. Like
I got to ask somebody.
Right. Like reboot me. I'm not sure.
Does not compute. Does not compute.
Blue screen.
Smoke coming out of their ears. Yeah.
And so they've got the little video screen. The video screen says replace or substitute slivered almonds or slivered onions.
Okay. I'll put a slivered almonds on there.
Yeah, right.
That'd be
sub-sliv onion.
Got it.
And I wanted to make sure. So I said, well, I don't want to substitute. I want to replace the slivered onions with the real onion, right? She's like, yeah, I got that. Oh, do you want red onion? And I said, oh, yeah, you got red onion because they've got the new quarter pounders. Like, sure. Yeah, give me the red onion. She's like, okay.
Like,
so I pull around.
Like it's dangerous. All right.
All right.
If you asked for it.
You need to sign a waiver. So I go around and I pay and I get my Big Mac and that's where our stories right now are in parallel.
So here's where I'm going to ask you the question. Did you get big onion, you know, rings of cut red onion on your burger?
I got rings of red onion cut.
Well,
cut
great sliced. Merciful shit, because I didn't get any onions.
You got no onions?
No, and you know how you said the little screen, substitute onion, whatever thing said to you? My little screen said, special ask. The words special ask ASK.
In other words, yeah. So in other words, hey, when you make this, ask the guy who's taking 50 orders at the drive-thru to explain what that one guy wanted.
Yes. Special ask. My wife's on goes, what does that mean? I go, I don't even know.
People in the tadpole are thinking maybe it said special ass. Give this guy-
they were referring to me.
What do we have in the drive-thru? Some special ass.
We got a real special ass in the drive-up right now. So I open that thing up. There's no onions of any kind. Now, in a way, that's a bonus because I can't stand the slivered piece of business. And they usually, when I tell them not to put that on there, they forget and leave it on. So I got none of this. Like that guy, he sounded confused on the thing. That's because he was. He was talking to a special
put in
ass.
The consciousness. You know what they put on the burger? They put the consciousness of an onion.
Oh, that's a good point. I had now that you've interpreted what he said, it's all kind of making sense. Because it did have kind of the stink of an onion, just a little bit. I was really hungry last night, and I wharfed that thing down like some kind of freak, and I'm still kind of regretting it. But I'm happy to report I am now exactly 25 pounds lighter than I was when I started eating less and whatever, and I still had a Big Mac. So take that, everybody.
That's awesome.
Take that.
Again, it's moderation. That's all it is.
Portion control, regular exercise. Doesn't have to be that hardcore. And then be a really nervous guy. That helps, too. I burn a lot of calories being Mr. Nervous. That helps a lot. Just constant burn, man. Just constantly letting it out. Oh, I'm worried about things I can't control. There goes another pound. Woo! All right. Anyway.
By the way, Daryl, and I know we're going to pull him on here in a second. He says the word might have been condiment that they were saying.
Condiment onions?
Condiment, yeah.
You want a condiment onion? Okay, maybe. But he wasn't even like a foreign dude. He was just a dude. He had like a West Valley accent. I don't know. I don't know what he was saying. And I shouldn't have just said yes. I should have clarified. I have a tendency to lie.
You know, I want onion.
I have a tendency.
Condom and onion?
I want. Oh, God. You want condom on there? Are you sure you want condom?
You guys are hilarious. Tadpole, a bunch of people did the condom onion? Condominium?
I don't want a condominium on my burger. The devil farts. That's what I want, is the devil farts. All right. Mm-hmm. We're not calling Daryl yet. We got some other stuff. I wanted to just throw people's direction or heads at this thing that was sent to me by Shane English. He's a listener of the show and other shows on the network. He worked in TV for a long time, jumped out on his own, is now making really cool short films. At least that's how I believe I have the story. And he made this great Breaking Bad tribute that everyone needs to see. It's freaking awesome. It's basically what will happen after the last episode of Breaking Bad. And it's really, really well done. And I'll link it someplace. In fact, we'll stick it in the Tadpool. I'll throw it on Twitter right now. If you follow us at Morning Stream on Twitter, that's Morning Stream. It's going up right as soon as it lets me do it right now. Here we go. Watch this, I say in there. And then I put an exclamation point, a space, and I paste it. There it is. Okay. So go check it out. I just want to big props to him because it's fantastic. And if you're a fan of Breaking Bad, you want to check that out.
I'm going
to
watch it too. Not now, of course, but I will watch it when we're done with this whole thing.
One last piece of business, and that is that we all need to. Here's what I want to do. I want to flood Nicole Spag and Mark Spagnuolo.
Mm-hmm.
They're married, you know, live in Arizona there.
Yep.
With virtual hugs on the internet because their dog, Lexi, 11-year-old dog, they've had him forever, or her, I guess. Died suddenly overnight. Just died overnight. Nobody knows why. She wasn't sick. Could have been anything. They don't know. But they're kind of sad about it, of course. That's, you know, your dogs are part of your family.
Of course. Aww.
So go tweet them and stuff and say nice things on Facebook if you're friends with them or whatever. But do something nice in a virtual way to let them know you're thinking about them and that you're sad about their dog dying. Because I feel really bad for them. So we're thinking about you guys, and we hope it passes soon and you guys are cool. What else? That's it. Let's get Daryl on here. We're going to start him early today. Well, okay. I should say on time.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's pretty close to regular time.
Yeah, I went a little long the last couple days. Today, we're pulling him in the way we've contractually bound ourselves to do it, which is early. Here's his thing. It's Stump a Track Nerd, brought to you by
Ooh, happy Cloud Cruiser. Get cruising before the winter is coming. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/happycloudcruiser and visit happycloudcruiser.com. That's our buddy Andreas. I wish I had it down here with me. He did, I bought a custom skateboard from him.
Oh, nice.
With a picture of one of my favorite albums of all time on the bottom. It's
awesome.
Squeezes Cool for Cats, and it looks really cool.
Are you going to hang it or ride it?
I've been trying to ride it. I've been riding it in the house on the hardwood floor, which is really good for everybody involved.
Yeah, of course. Even the hardwood floor thanks you for it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure, exactly. But I do need to get out and actually get some pictures of me actually riding it on the street. I've never ridden a skateboard, so
yeah.
It's going to involve a lot of braking and falling and all that stuff.
Jackassery. That'd be great. Film all of that.
I will. During the music break, I'll run upstairs and grab it and show it on the video so people can see how cool this thing is.
Oh,
but
awesome.
Yeah, definitely go check out Happy Cloud Cruiser. If you have not already, go get a custom skateboard made for you.
He's a talented bastard. Did you see those cool fake album art things he did from the retro? Like,
yes.
Oh, they're great.
That film sack one with the four dudes in the suits.
Really good.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I sent that to the one for Wendy, the Therapy Thursday, went to Wendy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she loved that.
Except the kids are making a cake in the background instead of her picking weeds. But
that's
hey, it's close
enough. She said, hey, she goes, yeah, that picture's great. The only problem is Peter, who she assumes is the baby, should be playing with his wiener. And the girl should have mud on her hands, not food or something like that.
Nice.
So she was trying to break it down. Hey, everybody, look who it is. It's Daryl Skeels on the line. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm chipper and chippy and
all those things in
oniony
one.
And oniony. Yeah.
You should go do the onion challenge. See what they give you. That is, if you can stomach a Big Mac. They're not great. They're okay once in a while, but ugh.
Yeah. You know my complaint about the Big Mac.
What's the big?
The things the middle part slides around. Like there's nothing. There's no. There's nothing to anchor in the middle of a Big Mac.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. There's no resistance there, is there?
Right. As soon as you take a bite, it's it's basically like you're eating something on Teflon and everything just goes right out the back.
The whole middle is all lubed up. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But my bigger problem is it doesn't really taste like a hamburger. Like it's just it tastes like a Big Mac, but there's no like any. If you've ever had a bog standard burger. This is not that. This is something wholly different and manufactured and tasty, I suppose, in some circles. I don't know what the hell's going on there. But you're right about that middle lube thing. It's bad.
Yeah.
Just right out the back. Daryl, it's good to have you back. Star Trek time. It's Star Trek trivia time, in fact. And we're going to ask you a hard trivia question about Star Trek. You're going to try to answer it to the best of your ability. And here it goes. In the original series episode, The Deadly Years, the Enterprise is a routine stop. I think they mean at a routine stop, but it says it is a routine stop at a colony for medical examinations. They discover the members of this colony are extremely old. One crew member discovers a dead body. I think it means one crew member discovers a dead body, which member finds a dead man while searching the colony. So one of these guys finds a dead dude in this original series episode. It was at A, Spock, B, Chekhov, C, Dr. McCoy, or D, Captain James Tiberius Kirk. So Spock, Chekhov, McCoy, or Koik. While you think about it real hard.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Much a foodie.
Let's test some food. We have the remaining fig bar, which we're told by experts contains seeds, which may feel like dirt. Nature's Bakery presents Stone Ground Whole Wheat Raspberry. 100% natural energy for life's great journeys. Trademarked.
With 200% more grit than apple cinnamon.
Cholesterol-free, dairy-free, no trans fat, kosher, no GMO. What is GMO? I forget.
It's the hormones.
Genetically modified
organism.
Thank you.
That's what it is. Growth hormone. No growth hormone either.
Generally massive orgasm. All right. Let's open that up. Made in the USA too, everybody. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Bringing it home. Bringing it home to where we are, where we're living. Okay.
It's stamped right on there with a real stamp, I'm sure.
That smells like a little kid who got real messy with his PB&J. You smell that? Just yeah, a kid like yeah. smeared it all over his high chair and just got it all up in his face and he had to go hose him down. Boof. All right, sure. Here we go.
I forgot which camera.
Oh, that's lovely. And that's got double the grit. Because you got a little raspberry grit. Just a little.
I don't really feel that raspberry grit.
No, neither do I.
Like they took all the seeds out.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting 50% more grit.
Maybe, well, maybe that's still same, got the fig.
Yeah, I'm getting the same amount of fig grit.
Fig grit, mm-hmm. more fig grit in each and every bite. I just say that
you
on
know
the
what?
Bag. What?
I don't think this tastes any different than the apple one.
I know, I'm not tasting any raspberry in this.
What if it's, we've been hornswoggled. This is weird. It definitely smells different, right?
I don't think the apple one tasted like apples either. They're just both figs.
It's like dog poo and cat poo. They smell different, but they taste the same.
Yeah.
We'll just let that one lie. Nobody wants to know about my cat. Oh, I got to tell you guys something that happened yesterday. So we come home from the Big Mac, Big Onion fiasco of 2013. And I walk into the house and I'm like, something smells weird. What's going on in here? Left the house pristine when we left. I whip around the corner and there's little, oh, I don't know what to compare them to. Like if you took taffy and stretched it way out, like real hard, real fast, and you get that kind of very quick thinning of the middle of the taffy. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's say you cut a little piece of that off and then laid about six of those on the floor, on the wood floor in the kitchen. Though, but make them dog poo. That's what I come home to. Okay? Just little Daryl's coughing on the grit.
Well, I just choked on a piece of fig grit.
Oh, okay. But these little worm-shaped dog poos, and I thought, well, Daisy, what are you doing? I'm looking for Daisy, come here. And she won't come, because I'm sure her tail's between her legs, and she feels, you know, like she's done something terrible, because I'm the alpha dog, and it scares her to death. So I'm looking around for her, and as I'm walking around, I notice in the corner by the fireplace, there's like a full-on hobo-sized turd over there. So that's bonus number two coming home to that. And then right next to it in a neat little puddle, a little pee puddle from the dog. Now, it's all in the woods or the wood area, which is easy to clean, and it's great because it's not carpet or something, right? Mm-hmm. But it's still, her personal toilet has suddenly become the house. And this is a dog who's 100% trained, knows exactly what to do and where to go. I don't know what's happened. It was like some kind of chaos. The cat influenced her in a negative way or something. I don't know what happened. So I'm cleaning it up. We're dealing with it. Right then, neighbors come to the door and knock.
Oh, no.
They're walking, so they come in, hey, how's it going? They kind of look at this, they get this stink face on their face. I'm like, it's all right, the dog pooped, I got it. I'm over there wiping it up. Kim's trying to entertain. Do you guys want anything? We got Dr. Pepper. And they're like, no, we're good. And they're kind of just trying to make the best of it, and I'm cleaning up. And then Kim goes over to the sink to do something. Walks around the sink. She's in bare feet. We have a carpet in front of the sink that's just a little rug.
Oh, no.
And it's super camouflagey kind of carpet, so you don't know what's on there. She gets over there. Right up through her toes on both feet. Two more big, fresh, wet, warm poops from the dog. So we think she got into something and went on a poo spree. That's what we think happened.
Right. And it's, you know, exactly. I mean, with dogs, it could be anything. It could be, you know, maybe they ate something. They felt a little pain last time they pooped out in the yard. So they're like, oh, well, I associate pooping out in the yard now with pain. So I'm going to poop in the house for a little bit.
Right. Like me and airplanes. It works the same. Totally understand.
Exactly, yeah. Or just, you know, couldn't make it.
Right. And I think that's what probably happened. But the best part is neighbors are still in the house, still having a conversation. Kim is standing in wet dog poo going, I don't know what to even do.
Oh, no. So Kim didn't even, like, say, oh, my God, I just stepped.
Well, she kind of made this face and looked at me, and I go, what? And I come around there. She lifts her foot. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it is Armageddon in this house. What is going on? And here's the whole time, the entire experience, Nick in the corner going, laughing at everything. He thought this was the funniest day of his life. I forgot to even tell you that. All right, so there's that story.
That's great.
Daryl, you got some birthdays to celebrate today in Star Trek.
That was better than pooping on a plane.
I agree.
Now what?
Birthdays. Birthdays, yeah. You know, birthdays. Way-ho.
Way-ho.
There you go.
Richard Hurd is 81. He played Admiral Richard Paris What did I write here? Oh, Admiral Richard Paris.
Is he John Paris?
On Voyager.
It was his dad.
Admiral Paris. Yeah. Please report to my ready room.
Your son is not giving as good a massage as he did when we first hired him for the ship.
Wait, with he was the dad, right?
Pine cone and a gallon of lube.
Yeah.
That's the
and
worst
he also
episode.
Played a Klingon.
He played a Klingon in Voyager or something else?
TNG.
Oh.
On the episode Birthright.
Oh, very nice. Well done, I would say. watched Ensign Ro yesterday try to destroy the Galactica. That was fun.
Mm.
Kids got to watch one episode of BSG last night, yeah. With her mole and everything. It was horrible. It was terrible. Oh, that mole, Brian. Brian, I'm telling you, that mole, it's like
I don't mind the mole at all.
It's like a spider egg sack hanging off her face.
Would you have wanted Marilyn Monroe to get her mole taken off?
Her mole's different. Her mole is flush to the surface. This thing has to be a hazard anytime she goes anyplace. Like
she's gonna catch it on a doorknob,
yes!
or something.
Yes. And if she lanced it, a billion tiny spiders would just swarm her face.
Oh, no.
Just swarm her face.
No, no.
Anyway, that Cylon got her, though, in the end, if you remember correctly. Spoilers. All right, moving on. Daryl. what are we doing? Oh, let's evaluate this question. Who do you think it was that found the body, the dead man? Was it Spock, Chekhov, McCoy, or Captain Kirk?
Okay. This one is kind of easy because it was the whole point of this episode that starts right here when they discover the body.
Okay.
Because it immunized. Is this a word I can't say?
Immunize?
Yeah. Yeah. That.
What are you, me? What's going on
immunize
here?
The light, the heat.
All right. Wait, no, you mean they got infected, right? Because they touched the body and then they became crazy or old or something happened, right?
Yeah, they got old, except for one of these people who is what you said. Because they were scared.
Immunized.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were immune.
They found this. They found the dead body, and they were scared. That word. So it wasn't Spock because he wouldn't be scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember McCoy and Kirk got old, so that leaves Chekhov.
Oh, all right. I'm down with that. Makes sense too because he's the young guy, right?
Well, no.
I mean, you know what I mean. They play on that, his whole age
thing.
He'd be
inexperienced, yeah.
Right. I totally get that. Well, let's find out if you're right. Judges, is it Pavel Chekhov? Whoops, where is it? Here it is.
Congratulations!
Wow.
You're a winner!
Just imagine.
Imagine.
Imagine Daryl getting that right. That's an awesome one. Discovers a dead body. That's Chekhov who does. McCoy says the man died of old age. Spock says that is not possible since he did a check on the members of the colony, and none of them were nearly as old as this man was. Many members of the crew begin to age rapidly with bad makeup and everything. Even the old versions of Spock and McCoy still bicker at each other. Here's a clip of that going on. I remember this. This is good. Here we go. Play. Why aren't you playing? Oh, here we go.
Doctor, ship's temperature is increasingly uncomfortable for me. I've adjusted the environment in my quarters to 125 degrees, which is at least tolerable. However,
I see I'm not going to be making any house calls on you.
I wondered if perhaps there was something which could lower my sensitivity to cold.
I'm not a magician, Spock. Just an old country doctor.
They sound the same, though. They're not really playing old, right?
Yeah, right.
I wanted them to go, it's too cold in my quarters. Not even doing that. And what time is Matlock on?
The problem with age makeup is they never make them fat.
Right.
They just make them wrinkly.
Mm-hmm. We're late for the early bird special at Denny's. Let's go. I have all my old people stereotypes. I like
it. Is it 4 o'clock? Like we need to go to 10 forward and have dinner.
Yeah, we need to be in bed by 8. After my programs. Man. Yeah.
That's an old man strong bad.
Oh, totally, dude. It kind of was. That's still going, right? The strong bad thing? Is that still a thing?
They're not making new ones, but it's still out there.
Homestar Runner, they don't do new stuff, though.
No.
They're just basking
in the... I think they're doing a TV... They're doing some TV series that everybody knows, but I forgot the name of it.
Oh,
I don't remember what it is.
Chat rooms, who knows? Does anyone know what they're doing now? No?
Some major thing.
Okay. Well, good for them. I suppose if they're...
They have taken on new projects as Rue 9X.
Yeah, they're making a bunch of money. Oh, they made them. No, we know about that. That's not the same. Wasn't Matlock new then? What? I know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the name. Dancing with the Strong Badge. Yeah, that's it. That's the one. Daryl, it's a fine job you did there all week. I think you only got one wrong. You got Monday and Tuesday wrong. 50-50. Yeah. 50-50. It's all right. Average. Average is okay sometimes. Not a problem. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can follow him there. He has lots of fun things to say about the world of Star Trek and beyond. He's also This Week in Trek's own Daryl. You can find that at thisweekintrek.com. All right, Daryl, let's play a little game we like to call Actual Mineral or Star Trek Alien. Go.
How about Crystal Bylite?
Crystal Bylite.
Oh. Crystal Bylite. I'm saying you're trying to pull a fast one. I'm going to say that's an alien.
Crystal Bylite?
Bylite?
All right, I'll say mineral just to shake it up.
And you shook it right. It's a mineral.
Damn it.
He tried to fool you, Brian.
Well, he did fool me.
Brian.
All right. We're going to... I'm going to play this first, and then we're going to make a phone call. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Geek Positive. Check out the iOS newsstand and get yourself a subscription to Geek Positive, a bi-weekly publication with the latest and greatest in geek culture. The first month is free, and all following months cost just $1.99. Subscribe now to Geek Positive.
Nice. All right, we're getting on the line with us here. Friend of the program, dude who knows no bounds. It's Justin Robert Young. Good morning. Hello?
Hi. No, I'm here. You want to know? There's a funny thing with iOS 7 where, like, you can go into something else and it'll still play the music that you were playing before. Like, it doesn't always pause.
Oh, it's just not supposed to do that, is it? I thought it was supposed... Well, it depends. Well,
if you're going to something else that has audio, it should pause it, is it not?
Well, it didn't. I had to stop you guys talking so I could talk to you guys with words.
Live. Gotcha. So Skype or whatever didn't pause.
So Skype didn't pause the Safari playback.
Oh.
And that concludes iOS Corner.
There we go.
Gerbs, Scott, and Bride.
I can tell you. So there's another bug semi-related to that, which I'm sure they'll fix. But the podcasting apps that I use to listen on the shows that I listen to, it used to be that when you'd bring up the thing and double click it or whatever, you'd get the little play controls at the top and you could pause it even without unlocking the phone. Now that doesn't work unless I unlock it, go to the app and then pause it. So there's a few little weird, and then they're probably mostly the app makers themselves have to get with the program and get whatever the new thing is and make that function. But it's a little, some of that stuff's a little irritating. You ended up with a 5S, did you not?
I did.
Nice.
I have a 5S.
So you got rid of that temporary freaking Android piece of garbage you had?
I did.
All right.
Man, I shed myself of it. I also found that I thought it was going to be like a fun thing to like delve into like Android stuff.
Yeah.
But it would have been less controversial if I would have sampled conversions to Judaism and Islam, you know. Like people take this seriously, man. Like, they are really all, they get their haunches up.
Well, that's why I said what I just said in complete and total jest, everybody listening. I'm not saying Android phones are pieces of crap, because I know when I say that, I will incur constant wrath over email and Twitter for the next 6 weeks. So it was just a joke. Relax. Okay?
How does it feel to have a real phone while?
Now you got your Fisher-Price phone back there, Justin. Way to go.
Yeah.
Did you get gold or black or white? What'd you get?
I wanted gold, and it's funny because I've now been with Ashley long enough that I was like, oh, I'm gonna get the gold one, and she's like, she like looks at me weird, and then she's like, is it because you have a joke for having the gold phone? And I'm like, yes, it is. And it would be that whenever I would take it out of the case, and somebody would be rightfully horrified and go like, why did you get the gold one? I would just go, I love gold! And I was so excited to do that, but apparently, and this was actually the most painless line I've ever waited in for an iPhone. I've waited in like 3 or 4 lines for iPhones, which I kind of enjoy. Mm. It was like, especially for somebody who doesn't have, or like has never really had, like, have to wake up for a 9-to-5 job in a while.
Yeah.
It's always like kind of quaint to like, it's like going to camp.
Right.
You know, like wake up early and you know, go do a thing and you talk to other people. And the line was really short. I was in New Haven, Connecticut, and I wound up getting everything within really about like an hour and a half. Like
that's,
I lined
that's
up
not
line.
Too bad. Yeah. That's
yeah. Not too it was bad. Like, it was pretty fun.
I wish that was true here. It was like 3.5-4 hours at the our local stores. It was real bad. So I think it probably depended on where you were at. But yeah.
Oh no, yeah, and that's actually why I was in the tri-state area in you know Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, and I had to fly out of Newark that night. And I wound up visiting a friend in New Haven and just spent the night up there, just assuming that the New Haven line would be shorter than any of the lines in like Jersey or New York or whatever. And so I'm in this line and I'm talking to this dude, and this dude, like, we're just like talking about random stuff. And he's like, oh yeah, you know, like, I really like, I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. What kind of podcasts?
I make a lot of podcasts.
Well, so get this, right? And so he's like, oh, you know, like Tech News Today and This Week in Tech. And I'm like, oh, that's really funny. Like, I work for that network. I do a podcast on that network. And he's like, I know, you're Justin Robert Young. Your voice is freaking me out.
Wait, he waited that long to tell you? Like, got into
he
the...
Did.
That's weird. That's weird.
Well, he was, like, trying to edge into it. Like, so he was just, like, he had brought up the podcast thing. So I would, because I'm a glory-hogging moron, be like, what podcast?
Let's see how long I can bring it up before he mentions that he does podcasts.
That's weird.
Exactly, I know. And he led me right into the honeypot, and just so he could confirm that I was who he thought I was.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I was.
That's great. I had a guy yesterday email my daughter and tell his old friend of hers, and he's studying abroad somewhere in Singapore or something weird like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
by the way, you know, Singapore, illegal to chew gum.
I've heard this.
Chewing gum.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's okay to eat. It's okay to eat that weird red nut that gives them all cancer, though. They're all cool with that. Or wait, is that
well, because that doesn't like literally the chewing gum thing. They're just sick of cleaning it. It was like they were just like the parents, and they're just like, that's it. That is why we can't have a nice country. No more chewing gum in the country.
I do like the parental nature of that law. That's very
totally
parental.
Is, yeah, very much.
But
so
anyway, he runs into this kid, or this guy runs into this kid who's living there and knows some English, but is kind of sketchy and all that. And this kid starts rattling off all these things, these American podcasts he listens to, and they're all Frog Pants shows. It's TMS,
really?
The Instance, yeah, like just totally into it.
Wait, knowing that you are the Johnson of the Johnson.
No,
the
well, this
email,
the kid knows the kid. My sister's friend knows who I am, but this guy he was talking to had no idea that there was any connection there. So
that's
he just
hilarious.
Starts rattling off. Oh, I love this! I love this one. Look at this! And he's showing him his iPod with like TMS artwork on it, and this kid's freaking out. He couldn't believe it. Like in the middle of Singapore, this is crazy.
Dude,
anyway,
that's amazing. Do you think? I mean, is that the wow connection? Like, because wow has such a crazy international
probably
audience?
Yeah. I mean The Instance, still to my utter just bemusement, it continues to be like the great emancipator of the network and connects so many people because wow is so ubiquitous and the show came on early enough and hit the right points early enough that it became kind of the show, and it just continues to this day. It just blows my mind because we're, 8 years into this show, I think, or something? January of 06. So how many years is that? That's... almost 8 years, right?
You know what the funniest thing is, and like even then, like for the Instance, like and that had to be like what the iTunes store was like 6 months old.
Yeah,
at
they
that
had
point,
just started doing
right?
it. Yep. Actually, you know what? I take that back. It was that year. It was later that year that iTunes started the directory. So this was even pre that. This was like back in like the
pre iTunes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you get the sense at the time that it's like, man, I'd like to do a podcast, but it's way too late. Like all the popular ones are already popular. Because like I feel like that was the thing then.
Yeah.
Like it was like I remember those thoughts. Like it's like, well, I mean, like, listen, the Ricky Gervais show pretty much did whatever podcast is gonna do.
Yeah.
So what's the point of
doing
one?
Point? Yeah, why bother?
Yeah. I think it's funnier today because you listen to like some stand-up comedian will launch a new podcast like today.
Yeah.
And go, yeah, I mean, he'll say to his buddy who started a podcast in 2010 or 2011 and go, yeah, weren't you one of the first? You were one of the first, right? One of the first podcasts ever? That sounds about right. And I'm like, you guys are all a-holes. coming in here, kicking the furniture around, acting like a bunch of buttholes, and claiming you own podcasting. And
exactly.
I get over it, and it's fine. It's not a problem.
Just get to your plug for Uncle Funny's Chuckle Farm in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
That's right. Right. Hurry up and tell us your dates that you're going to be at. Right. All right. Well, it's great to have such a prestigious star of It's Always Funny in Philadelphia. Sonny, I mean, and have him here with us.
No, that's my show. My new show is It's Always Funny. I've decided to steer right into this Charlie Day curve. And I've now embraced it.
Don't fight it anymore. Just steer into the skin.
No, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. So real quick with the Charlie Day thing. Yeah. I do this game for a high school in New York
City. It's called Kitten Mittens.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And this kid, they're all seniors in high school. And he goes... he's like, have you ever seen Horrible Bosses? And I'm like, no, I haven't. And he's like, you're just like a guy at Horrible Bosses. And I'm like, oh, do you mean Charlie Day? And he's like, yeah. Is that his name? And I'm like, yeah, no, that's his name. And he's like, yeah, man, you're really just like him. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, like, what else he's been in? And he's like, no, just Horrible Bosses.
No idea.
It's just like, man, like that's like, and it kind of came to realize, like, man, like Always Sunny in Philadelphia started like maybe like two, when I was like 2 years out of college. Like, it's been on forever. Like, it just
seventh season, eighth season or something.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's, yeah. It's crazy. Like, you know, it just might be a show that for teenagers, they're just not immediately like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing in the world. Like, I want to watch this.
No, that's like, that's like kids getting into that stupid show about marriage, James Spader and or not James Spader.
It should not be led around James Spader. By
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the Modern Family.
No, not Modern Family. Nope. The one with the freaking Putty from Seinfeld's in it. What the hell's that called?
Rules of Engagement.
Rules of Engagement is still on, and it's still a freaking thing. Like, that's still crazy popular. Like, you know,
that seemed like weak sauce. 2.5 Men, like, when it launched.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know who's watching it, although I actually think Putty's pretty good in it, but it's just stupid. It's bad.
That'd be the only
That's the David Spade one, right?
Yeah, David Spade. Why was I saying, what was I saying before?
James Spader.
Oh, James Spader. It's very, the one where they crash in cars and make out a lot. Yeah.
They do the same acting style, James Spader and David Spade.
Yeah, it's exactly easy to get the same guys, right? I mean, he may as well be Ultron. Let's get right down
gonna
to it.
I was going
to
compare Jury's thing to saying, oh, this saw this movie called 6 Days and 7 Nights. There's this actor in there named Harrison Ford. Man, he's great.
Man, yeah, no, he's fantastic. By the way, Jesus. Way to pull out a 6 Days and 7 Nights reference.
Yeah, way to go.
Well, I was trying to think of a Harrison Ford movie that wasn't a Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Jack Ryan business.
Exactly. But it's funny because the joke is like pulling things that they were in recently, and that movie has been like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I liked it. You threaded the needle. I liked it. It was a good job. Let's get to some news here. And we're going to keep Jeff, by the way, keeping Justin all the way up through Celebrity Poop, folks. This is our way of making up for Tuesday, last couple of Tuesdays where he's been gone. So thank you for doing this. So here's story number one. It's one way to get a nose job, and I wish you could see this link. Actually, I guess I can put it in Skype. Maybe you can see it. I don't know if your phone will fart out or not, but I'll send it to you anyway. You
just give me a headline. I'll Google it up.
All right. Surgeons at a hospital in China have grown a new nose on the forehead of a man.
Oh, I've seen this one. I don't even know. I was going to go over my laptop. I have already seen this.
All right, good. Good. He injured his original honker in a car accident. This, according to Reuters News Service. The operation, which at first glance resembles a Mr. Potato Head toy gone wrong, requires doctors to place a skin tissue expander on the man's forehead, cut it into the shape of a nose, and plant a piece of cartilage removed from his ribs. That sounds like the worst part. The medical team hopes to complete or comploete, as Huffington Post's great editor has left in there, the transplant surgery soon. So there you go.
Hey, what smells like eyebrows?
Okay. Number one, is this thing a nose? It looks like it's just a pile of flesh that they shaped into a nose thing.
Well, that's really what they've done. I mean, basically the skin expander part is probably just a big thick chunk of a chunk of skin on his head, and then they've got cartilage balls kind of jammed up inside that. Mm-hmm. They've literally done. It's not like an ear growing on a mouse. Like this is literally
right.
a sculpted nose.
This is a
child trying to draw a nose. Right. This is
a grotesquerie. Like let's not act like this is a medical breakthrough. Okay, right. Like this is like some medieval stuff. Secondarily, apparently this guy selected where he wanted his nose sculpted in the same way that a child pins the tail on the donkey. They just like spun him around. And like said, okay, here's like they have like the operation like thing, and they're like, oh, wherever you point, that's where we're gonna put the nose.
I can't tell what's wrong with his current nose. Can you see what's going on there?
Yeah, it's a little small, but it doesn't look
okay. Weird. Brian, you need to click the link that they link to on the Metro and look at the second photo.
All right,
just enjoy that for all that it's worth. Let that soak. Let that wash over you. The guy, all right, a visual here. Bald doctor sitting there holding that kid's head still with his nose way up there. His old nose, this doctor's got his finger jammed up his old nose. And he's smiling at a camera. What the hell's going on?
Right up the center, too.
Right. So maybe that's a problem. He's got one nostril. I don't know what's going on with this kid.
I'm not trusting anything coming out of China. Like, that just seems enough with that. I mean, like... Let's send that dude to LA. Let somebody check him out, and then we'll see what the hell's going on. Because this just seems like some sort of wild medical jape.
It does say the patient underwent the unusual procedure after his neglected nasal trauma treatment following a traffic accident in 2012. So he got in an accident. See, this is the problem with China. I witnessed this. I watched a brand new Lexus collide with a truck full of rags. In the middle of Shenzhen, China. I really did.
By the way, A Truck Full of Rags, my favorite Wilco album.
I know, right? It's one of the best. It really, I mean, it's a regular playlist for me. But they slam into each other in this truck of rags and this brand new Lexus, and I watch, I'm in a taxi on my way to some factory, and I see the people in both vehicles get out and walk away. Just get out and walk away. Doors open, lights flashing, alarms going off in the cars themselves. Well, the rag truck didn't have any sort of built-in alarm system. But they just went walking off into opposite directions. And
like, they don't even yell at each other?
No, nothing.
Not like, hey, I got a truck full of rags here.
No, none of that. Like, my rag business, you've ruined it. None of this happened. They just walked away. And then later, about 2 hours after we were done with this this factory thing, we're trying to make our way back to the hotel. And those two cars were still there, just sitting out there blinking in the middle of the street still. Like, there is no, I can't speak for Beijing or Shanghai or any of the big cities, but like the factory towns, it's lawless. And so my guess here is it's not that unusual for a guy to get into a car accident, walk away from it with a nose problem and never deal with it. Like, let it go for 2 years, because that's just how you do stuff in China. It's a weird place, man. Weird.
I once had because my mom went out to one of those factories. She like works for an auto parts import business that sells to resellers here in the United States. And so she's made a couple trips out to China and into factory towns like that. And she was talking to me about it. And I thought that would be a really good, if you did like one of those like one-off like Batman stories or like a superhero story where it's just somebody like just in those towns where it's like just completely lawless and you really have like that sort of like old factory town mindset, like you just to have like a superhero, an American style.
Oh yeah.
How superhero dropped in the middle of that. That was a cool idea.
Yeah, it's crazy. That place is crazy. There's nothing about it that, I mean, whatever. It's you're used to however you're used to it. Those guys really know how to use their horns. Everyone uses their horn constantly. Like here in the States, you're afraid to use your horn very often. It's a very reserved thing. You reserve it for a-holes and people who cut you off. Over there, it's just like, hey, I'm coming in here. Hey, I'm coming. Okay, look at me. Like constantly letting you know where everyone is. It's a really weird thing. They're like proximity sensors in China. The way that people use their horns. And it's everybody from the fancy Lexus factory owner to the guy driving a truck full of rags. It's the way it is.
Yeah. Oh, in China, apparently, you can just honk twice and they'll put a nose on your forehead.
Right. Like, That's what I've heard. And that doctor will jam his middle finger up your nose while he's at it. Hey, check it out. Squarespace sponsoring today's program. Squarespace.com. We've all had experience with Squarespace. And guess what? All of that experience has been good. If you're looking to build a website simply and easily, you want to put a shop up, you're making your own prosthetic fake nose head pieces, mm-hmm. and you want to sell those, guess what? They have all the tools you need to do it. They'll even help you with your domain and their services, bar none, some of the best out there. You need to use this code, though, because we want to save you some money. Go try out the free trial. It doesn't take your credit card. Simple, easy. Get in there. Make something. And if you're happy, use the code MORNING9. That's the number 9, no spaces, MORNING9. That'll save you 20% off your next package at squarespace.com.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by
Neo-Victorian Skirmish Squad, an indie game now funding on Kickstarter. A steampunk-esque university is under siege from hordes of monsters, and it's up to you and your trusty battle dice to save it. Traps, puzzles, and adventure await. Mention TMS after you back it and snag some free papercraft. Visit geekimprovement.com/skirmish for more.
Absolutely. All right. Spoiler zone. Spoiler-free zone coming up. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a ratings Hulk smash, they say. See, they made a Hulk that's reference.
Even the way it's written, it's not an awkward...
Yeah, ratings a Hulk smash. What
does that ratings mean? A Hulk smash. That's... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ratings a Hulk smash.
A Hulk smash. All right, anyway. So, Justin, have you seen the... you saw the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, as I've exclusively lived on planes over the last 72 hours, they did not show the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pilot. Although I did watch without sound the second half of the Sleepy Hollow pilot.
Oh, weird! Which
was like absolute insanity.
Yeah, I heard good things about that too, but I have not seen it yet either. So I'm still standing here shieldless. I haven't seen it.
I read a few reviews about it from people that are generally sympathetic to Whedonverse. Projects, and you know, the idea that the pilot was okay, showed promise, but not amazing, which really is not out of line for Whedon project pilots. Right. Like very rarely, I think like really Firefly was pretty much the only pilot for a Whedon show that people agree was like really, really good, or at least as good as the show kind of built to be.
Right.
Right. Yeah, like Dollhouse, for example, start off kind of slow, picked up really good.
By then it was too late.
Yeah.
Part of that was Whedon still wasn't a thing that mainstream anyone cared about. Like it was still kind of, that's the Buffy guy. Well, I didn't ever watch that or whatever. You didn't get that goodwill, I don't think, until the Avengers. And now it's, and plus this is a Marvel offshoot. You got a lot of people who love Marvel and could care less who's making it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he's just got a, this is better timing for him, and you're going to have a better successful first run or whatever.
But let me ask you guys this. So Joss Whedon is obviously hard at work on the Avengers. He's probably going to, I think he starts shooting the Avengers in the next couple weeks. Yeah. He can only have X amount of involvement because not only is he doing the Avengers, but he's really like, he is the godfather of creative for the entire Marvel universe. Like they have him. Like he did rewrites on I think Captain America and Thor, and just really has been like the overall continuity guy, which is kind of a brilliant move by Marvel. But do you guys consider this to be a Whedon show in the way that Dollhouse, Firefly, Buffy, Angel were?
But you saw it. Do you?
I did.
Do you feel like it has that stuff going on?
It has more. It has an Avengers feel to it more than I would say a specific Whedon quality. I think Agent Coulson and Clark Gregg is probably the best thing about the whole show.
Who's he married to, by the way? Who's he married to?
He's married to Jennifer Grey. Don't put baby in the corner.
That's right. Don't put nose job in the... Speaking of nose jobs.
Speaking of nose jobs. She put it right in the middle of her face, though, where it belongs.
Right. She let it grow where everyone else's normal nose is, and then filmed
like
all those
we
movies.
Do in America.
Right. Damn it.
Right, exactly.
Damn it. Straight
up. But he's got, you definitely see the Joss Whedon, the Mal Reynolds sense of humor kind of stuff in the Agent Coulson character.
Good.
So as long as they keep that up, it's, with a pilot, and again, I think I may have said this before, and you know this better than anybody, you and Tom Merritt would, because with a pilot, they have to spend so much time introducing everybody to this world and these characters that they have to do a very abbreviated plot to kind of give you an idea of what the show's going to be about.
Sure.
It's like, all right, here's Fox Mulder. Here's Fox Mulder. Here's Fox Mulder. Here's Scully. Here's Scully. Here's Scully. Oh, how about a little weird thing right here? Boom. Okay. Show's over.
Right. This is the, you're right. And plus they have the added, well, they, this thing was greenlit all to hell, and it's not like they were ever having to prove it or sell it. You know, like they, right. I doubt there was much right. of this. Okay. You executives in the suits. You got to really, you know, there wasn't any of that.
What's
this
going to be about?
Right. I think they were all in all the time, but even then, I think there's this challenge of make this first hour be a balance of some interesting action, some interesting opening plot points, but also you got to get to know who all these really, really pretty people are.
They are really pretty people. Like, they are the pretty agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
This is why I have a problem with these things. And the Whedon, I love Whedon. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Everything he does is great. But part of what I liked about Firefly was that some people, not everybody was a hot model in that show. There was some kind of. No one was really ugly. Nobody was really ugly.
Basically, is Books, who you're saying Books maybe
even
wasn't
a, yeah. He's a handsome older man. Even I'm not saying anybody was ugly. Yeah. I'm saying that everybody.
They were all pretty bangable, Scott.
Everybody on that whole ship. It's like
I don't know. I think River. What's her name? Has a weird face. I think that her brother is creepy looking. I think that Inara, you can't count her because she's supposed to be hot. She's a companion, for heaven's sakes. I think Mal is good looking, but in kind of a snarky kind of way.
What about the super, super adorable, cute engineer?
Oh, like, that's true. But she had
the grease monkey that is like twisting the knobs and keeping this whole bucket of bolts scrambling across the galaxy.
But Kaylee had a quality to her that wasn't. She had an everyday girl next door quality to her. Good looking or not, it wasn't.
She was a weaponized geek wet dream.
Like, yes, exactly.
It was designed in a lab by Whedon to be like to pierce any and all defenses for male and female demographics that watch that show.
That's true. I used to blame it. The thing is, I feel like it. Nobody does shows now. Well, they do, but they don't make them as much as they used to. No one watched The West Wing because everybody was hot. That wasn't why you watched that show.
Sure.
So I wish there was more attention. Like, Agent Coulson, even as the older kind of guy in this thing, he's still really a handsome man, you know? Like, he's a good-looking, fit dude.
So you want uglier people on television.
I want people who look like...
there's a couple people in...
All right, fine.
In S.H.I.E.L.D. that are not, you know, model quality. When you watch it, I mean, there's Fitz and Simmons who are like the techs.
Yeah.
Fitz, I think, would fit your average looking guy.
Let's celebrate them by telling the actors on Twitter that we are really excited that they are ugly on television.
Everybody on Agents of S.H.I.L.D. is great looking, except
to be
for
so
Fitz.
Ugly on national television.
I like average, workaday character actors. Like, they make everything better for me. And I just wish TV, well, no, you know what? Look, cable TV knows this, most of it. They already know this. Yes, there's some good looking people. But for the most part, if you go watch The Shield, if you watch Breaking Bad, there's a bunch of other shows I could name. These are not, you know, 18-year-old something perfect tan skinny girl shows at all. And I guess I've gotten spoiled by that, and there's a realism to that. There's a kind of a gritty quality to all of that. And I'm not saying – I mean, part of my problem with Avengers
– that's never been Whedon.
Right.
Whedon has always put super pretty people.
You're totally right. You're totally right. And I've come to accept it. And I even feel that way about the Avengers in some ways. I feel like the Avengers is too – it's a shiny quality that I don't always like. I like things a little grittier. I like things a little – I don't know, a little more realistic. I think the reason Mark Ruffalo really stands out as the Hulk for me is because that is a grizzled, normal-looking dude. And I like
that. Which is funny because I think if you talk to a lot of ladies, that they would say he's probably the most handsome of that group.
Right, but he's handsome in a way... it's hard to explain.
And probably the most handsome guy to play the Hulk. You know, Edward Norton Jr., not such a... You know,
He's a junior? He's a junior. Is he a junior? Edward Norton Jr.? No,
just Edward Norton. No, Edward Norton Jr.
You know his dad.
Ken Norton Jr.
I think I was getting something confused there. Edward Norton.
The old man, Ed Norton Sr. What a bastard. Just never thought his kid could make it in Hollywood.
Here would be my only question about the S.H.I.E.L.D. show is I don't know where it is going in terms of it being the shows that I kind of enjoy, the more serial shows, or mm-hmm. if it's going to be like superheroes on NCIS, mm. you know, like if it's going to be just an episodic, like, what? All of a sudden there's a blob. I wonder if it's the blob man making blobs.
The pilot has a very fringe kind of feel to it. Even the mini plot that they have to put in there after they introduce everything is very fringe-esque. This could have been a fringe episode. I'm looking forward to it. I think
it's got the ratings to back up going for a full season here at least.
Jeez,
so.
No kidding. Yeah.
It's going to be a clearinghouse for every comic book character that does not deserve a movie.
Right.
Like, if you are ready for a 4-episode arc about Moon Knight, then welcome to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They are going to cram every random Marvel
I know
character.
I'm in no majority
Speedball
here.
But this week on.
I'm a big fan of Moon Knight. I don't know why.
Anything that they own the rights to. They are going to put in that. And I'm glad, because like a lot of these characters have like they've got one good idea. Yeah. You know, they've got a good you can wrap a television episode around pretty much any Marvel character.
Sure.
And I'm excited that they have that clear.
Yeah, that's a big arsenal to have, and I think that'll be a whole lot of fun. This is the highest rated drama debut in nearly 4 years. This is since ABC's V premiere in November of 2009, which ended badly, but still whatever. It was strong at the time.
Speaking of Firefly, that had companion role on it.
And then she went on to do, she's on Homeland now, showing her boobies. excellent. That thus endeth Celebrity Poop and our time, although it felt far too short with Justin Robert Young today.
Oh, I know. This is what happens when I get on into segments that have ends.
Right.
You know, normally I just have my own segment where I can just go a million years long, but yeah. I have to leave everybody.
We could go another 30 minutes. It would just mean Wendy be tapping her foot going, what the hell? I know.
Yeah, Wendy would be psychoanalyzing the guy who can't shut his dumb mouth.
That Charlie Day character on your show.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you guys for making time to have me on here today.
Always, dude. Always. You know, and, us. We're always a big happy. We're a happier place when Jerry gets to hang out on this show. So mm-hmm. always good.
And sometime next week, Scott, we're gonna have to line ourselves up a big retrospective Breaking Bad spoiler cast.
Yeah, it's one more episode, everybody. I just want to remind you, this is ending. This weekend,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what the hell is going to happen. But your couple of your predictions. Well, one very, very big prediction you made to me, either on air or not. I don't remember dealing with.
I don't even know what you're talking.
The
about.
Gray matter bit. The gray matter bit turned.
Oh,
out.
Oh yes. Oh no, that would be kind of revisited.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at length when we get to that spoiler cast. But I just as soon as that happened, I went, oh, Justin, damn you, Justin Robert Young, you got it.
I'm very very excited and I don't know, I'm pumped to see kind of where it goes. But I think that there's what I want to talk about on the spoiler cast when we do it is everybody's obsession now with, like, I've just been reading so much about like an argument about like it, the legacy of the show.
Right.
Like, is it the best show ever? Is it kind of the best show ever? Like, what shows are better than it? And I really want to talk about it. So anyway,
it'll be fun. We'll do that soon. Justin R. Young on Twitter. Follow him. He's got all kinds of stuff going on. That's the best place to find it. Dude, stay out of trouble. We'll talk to you next time.
My God.
My best of the birds. All right. That's it for happy time, good times. Let's take a song. Let's do a song.
Let's call a song.
After real quick, Tweaked Audio sponsoring the show. This is what you want to do. You want to listen to an episode like this and you want to hear a great song? Guess what? Pop these earbuds into your ears. Crank it up. It sounds even better. You stream it. Check out at tweakedaudio.com for your next big deal on earbuds. That's 33% off at tweakedaudio.com. Okay. Music. All what right. do you got?
And these will sound so good in your tweaked audio earbuds. So last night, I mentioned this yesterday, I went and saw Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original, the Gene Wilder movie, down at the Alamo Draft House. And special guest stars were Denise Nickerson, who played Violet, Paris Themon, I think is how it's pronounced, who played Mike TV, and Julie Don Cole, who played Veruca Salt. And they came out actually before the movie. They kind of bookended the movie. It came out before the movie. Then they actually stuck around and watched I think, most of the movie with us. And then at the very end, they did some Q&A stuff. Now, before the show, when they were doing their little introduction thing, they said, all right, here's a few things to watch for in the movie.
Like, and Easter egg really, kind of things?
Wow. Easter egg kind of things. And I was really hoping they would talk about the nudie magazines at the newsstand where Charlie works. But they didn't bring that up. But they brought up a couple things I'm going to share them with you, because the next time you watch it, I want you to look for it. So number one, in the Candyman scene, where Virginia Madsen says his name three times in the mirror, and then he comes out with a bloody hook. No, in the Candyman scene, the guy, when he opens up the counter to let the kids go behind, and he's got that flap that opens up the counter. As he's opening it up, it whacks a girl in the face and knocks her head back. Like, once you see it, you're like, how did I always miss this?
Oh, that's great, dude. I love when they keep things like that in.
Snaps her head back. And then in the big candy room, the big first chocolate river room that they go into, you see Veruca Salt smashing a watermelon with a rock, like trying to get into it. And then in a later scene, you see her scooping the jelly out and eating it.
Right.
In the scene where she's smashing it with a rock, you can see her knee is all bloody from a fall that she took running through the chocolate room about a scene or two before and fell down. And like,
wow,
just after Willy Wonka says, nothing in here is dangerous. Everything here is safe.
Wow. And you can see it. You can see her bloody knee.
You can see her bloody knee. So
that's great,
you
got
to look for that as well.
And then, you know, watch this movie again.
It's worth it. It holds up so well. And they talked about, you know, they get the typical questions. What did you like best about doing the movie and stuff like that?
Right.
But they one person asked about the wallpaper and said, so tell us about the wallpaper scene. And, you know, with the strawberries that taste like strawberries and blah, blah, blah. And apparently they put powder on their tongues to make it look like they were actually licking flavor off the walls.
Oh.
But they said in another showing, they asked Peter, who played Charlie, what did the wallpaper taste like? And he says, oh, you know, it's just pretty true to the movie. The wallpaper tasted like wallpaper.
Really? So there's nothing there to even taste. It's just straight up wallpaper on
the wall. They said they put jam on it, but that was gone after like a lick. All wallpaper tasting.
Oh my gosh. 1971, they didn't really have any rules for this sort of thing, I don't think.
No, and man, they did not have rules for even what they could do to children. So like the girl who played Violet was talking about how that blueberry suit that she was wearing was basically just a big piece of styrofoam with some cinder blocks for weight. And she had to sit in that thing for 9 hours straight, nine solid hours, like with a German guy who had to roll her over every 5 minutes so that she didn't get an aneurysm or something.
That sounds terrible.
Like the conditions, you know, they basically didn't have to do anything. And it was they filmed that in Germany, in Munich, near Munich.
Less restrictions in Munich, probably.
Exactly. So like it's all during Oktoberfest, and they're giving the kids beer. And one of the kids said, or one of the people on stage said, yeah, you know, I remember it was Oktoberfest, and for one dinner they gave us a full chicken, a strudel, and a liter of beer. And it was the first time I ever drank.
Wow. That's crazy. Really cool, man. What an awesome awesome thing to see.
It was a blast. And if, you know, check the Alamo Drafthouse website and you can find out if that's going to be coming through your area and you can go see it.
Nice.
They're doing a tour, so go watch it with them. And it's amazing seeing it on a big screen, crystal clear, just beautiful. Beautiful.
Wow. All right.
So. So that's going to kind of set the theme for today's music. I didn't have any requests specifically for this day, so I'm actually going to do a couple of my own requests.
All right.
First off, we're going to hear the song that Veruca Salt sings, not the band, the girl, in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the I Want It Now song. Other than Charlie, she's the only one of the five kids that gets to do a song, like Violet and Mike TV and Augustus Gloop.
That's right.
Augustus Gloop, by the way, did not speak any English. He had to learn his lines phonetically.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. And said in a later interview, he said that the chocolate river tasted like duty water.
That's great, man.
Yes.
Anyway. He wasn't there, right? He wasn't there.
He wasn't there. No Charlie and no Augustus Gloop, but the other three kids were there.
Right. Kids.
So good. So such a great time. Anyway, Harry Connick Jr. put out an album in 2001 called Songs I Heard, which had a bunch of songs covered from Mary Poppins, The Wizard of Oz, and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, to be specific,
sure.
including a duet or a medley of Golden Ticket and I Want It Now. We're going to trim it down to just Veruca Salt's bit. So here's a cover right here. Harry Connick Jr. doing I Want It Now.
Sounds good. We'll be back in a minute with Wendy. Everybody stay tuned.
I want a golden goose. Gooses. Geeses. I want my geese to lay gold eggs for Easter, at least 100 a day. And by the way, I want a feast. I want a bean feast. Cream buns and donuts and fruitcakes with no nuts, so good you could go nuts. Give them to me now. I want a ball. I want a party. Macaroons and a million balloons and performing baboons, and give them to me now. I want the world. I want the whole world. I want to lock it all up in my pocket. It's my bar of chocolate. Give it to me now. I want the party with room full of laughter. 1,000 tons of ice cream. And if I don't get the things I am after, well, I'm gonna scream. I want the works. I want the whole works. Presents and prizes and sweets and surprises. All shapes and sizes, and now don't care how.
I want it now!
Can anybody top flavors like these? Toast'em topped them. In new Toast'em Fancy Frosted, a luscious lacework of vanilla frosting over blueberry, caramel flavor over peach, swirls of vanilla over strawberry, and rich honey flavor over cinnamon. New Toast'em Fancy Frosted, the best-looking toaster pastry ever. And they taste, even better than they look. New Toast'em Fancy Frosted Pop-Ups from Post.
Now I'm a real blonde.
This is the Morning Stream. Hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your butts indeed. Welcome back, everybody. That was great. I like Harry Connick.
Yeah, he's kind of that, he's the marijuana of jazz. Like, he's the gateway.
The marijuana of jazz. I like that.
The marijuana of jazz.
The so, like, if you want to.
Exactly. So, if you want to get into jazz, start with Harry Connick.
All right.
By the way, I promised before.
Yeah.
During the music break, I would go get my.
Oh, hi,
happy,
Wendy.
Happy Cloud Cruiser board, and here it is right here.
Hold that up there on your camera, yeah.
I'm holding it right up. It looks great in HD right there so people can see the cool for cats.
People should go get one of those. Those are awesome.
They should absolutely go get one of these.
Hi, Wendy.
Well, hello.
How's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
It's my sister, Wendy, everybody.
Hello.
We're fine. Everything's running late today. We apologize for making you hang out there too long, but don't worry. We got plenty of work for you to do. We got a nice little package to deliver to you here as help somebody with their psychosis. Wendy is my sister. She's also an actual therapist. She comes here on Thursdays, and we do a little segment called Therapy Thursday where she helps people out with real stuff. Probably should just jump right to it. Is mom still in? She's not in New York right now, is she? Side note. Okay. She's not there. I got to call her.
Why? Is something happening in New York?
No. I thought she just went on. Didn't she just go out there?
She did. So they went last year and they flew out, Friday, and Superstorm Sandy hit Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And this year they walked on the pier in New Jersey and the next day it was on fire.
And they got accosted by Snooki. So
I don't think they should go back.
Yeah, I don't think they seem to cause this sort of, it's like the Nerdtacular curse.
They're not welcome back is probably.
Yeah. They're not welcome back.
That's crazy. Is that where I got my bad timing? I think I got it from mom. Great. Another thing I got from Mom. All right. Speaking of baggage, we're going to read an email here. It's not really baggage, but it's somebody who we will call O. We'll just shorten that name to O. All right. And they say this. Hey, Wendy, my problem is this. I'm 40, divorced, with a 15 and a 7-year-old boy. There's two boys there. I have been dating a great and very caring and giving guy for almost a year. He is a widower. So this is a lady. Okay. So when I said call this dude O, I meant this lady. Let's call her O. He lost his wife 2.5 years ago to cancer, and he says he never thought he would find somebody after the loss of his wife, and he loves me very much, but he has a hard time saying it. He wears his old wedding ring still, but on his other hand. I told him he can always wear it if he wishes. He has two stepkids, aged 23 and 22, yet I have never been invited to spend time with them. Have met one of them. He spends time with my kids, though. I guess the question is, does someone really move on after the death of a spouse? Can you love someone as much as you did the one before? Will I always be as though I'm in somebody's shadow? Although he has never made me feel that way. Thanks, Wendy. You're the best. Thanks also to Brian and Scott. You don't watch Doctor Who, but I still love the show anyway. Thanks again. Oh, all right. Well, Brian does. I'm the only one that doesn't, I don't think.
I also do not.
So oh, yeah. Wendy does not. Wendy does not partake in nerdy things.
I have family members who do, so yeah. That's cool, right?
Does your husband watch it?
That's cool.
Every once in a while, he and Abe will watch it.
Yeah, good. That's what they should be doing. You're supposed to be the wife sitting there going, what is this? What is this crap?
What is this?
You should be studying or reading. That's your job. So what do you tell somebody like this? It seems to me that, I mean, we've seen in our own experience, people that we know and care about, go from the death of a spouse to remarrying and kind of finding new devotion to somebody new, even though they maybe thought they couldn't. How common is it for somebody to never kind of get out of that rut?
Well, I would say, I'm not sure I'd call grief a rut, but I would call it, you know, I think they're definitely different personalities when it comes to this. There are people who, you know, their spouse dies and they're like, that's it. I'm single for the rest of their lives. And they're never even get close to dating. Mm. So obviously this guy sees that, you know, he's interested in having a life beyond that, but he's still probably grieving to some extent. Right.
Right.
And that's the thing about grief. So I was thinking about this, you know, the kind of her question is, will someone ever move on? Or am I always going to feel like I'm in somebody's shadow?
Right.
And there's one thing she writes in there that I think is a hint that this could work out really well. And that is that she's okay with him wearing that ring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That tells me that she's pretty patient and she's willing to let him have the process that he needs to have.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty threatening to most people.
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
she can handle that, you know, that's just symbolic. And when he really moves on, there'll be a day where he'll take it off.
Yeah.
But if she makes him take it off or she throws a fit or gets all, you know, makes it about her, it's going to be a much harder road and a much more conflictual relationship. Because one of the problems is when someone dies, they then become perfect, as she's describing, you know, right. kind of the perfect person's shadow. So if you demonize him, or, you know, you just push him closer to that other woman is perfect and I'll never be enough, the crazier you act, right? So, but she's still going to have feelings. So what does she do with it? Well, I think maybe one of the first steps is to have a conversation with him about his stepkids. They're his stepkids, not his full blood kids. So, and she doesn't write this, but maybe she knows. But what is the relationship there? Maybe they're like, my mom's dead. I have this relationship with my stepdad, but I'm not interested in meeting some other lady.
Right.
You know, fair yeah. enough, right?
Sure.
Because as the kids of that, sometimes that's how you feel if it's blood related. You don't want to meet who your dad's dating.
Yeah.
But whatever that dynamic is, that discussion needs to happen. And you can tell him that I'd like to spend more time with them if that's a relationship you want me to develop. But there's maybe a reason he's not pursuing it. Find out what it is. Don't make it about you. Make it about, I would like, you know, I have feelings about this, but I'm going to respect what you need to do with your stepkids because you're still their parent and they're all grieving at their own rate, you know?
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, I can say as an adult male whose father passed away in my adulthood, it's still like I'll just admit this openly and freely. It's still hard for me to refer to the dude what married my mom since as anything more than the dude what married my mom. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like people are like, who's this? Oh, this is my, what is he? Is this guy that married my mom. Like mm-hmm. I have a really hard time saying this is my dad or this is my stepdad even. And this is more about me than them, but I still haven't quite embraced the idea. All these, 10 years now?
Right.
Later? Or more than that. Let's see. Yeah, like 11
2001, 11 years. Yeah.
11 years since then?
No, 10. They've been married 10 years.
Yeah, 10. That's right, 10 years.
It's no, been, 11.
Well, dad died in 2000, so it's been 13 since his death and then 11 since their marriage. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, I hate to turn some of these emails into my problems, but I don't know why that is. And it irritates me. It frustrates me when people say, oh, who is he? Well, he's just this guy that married my mom. Like, it's hard for me to say this is my stepfather. And I don't know why. I don't know why that's hard.
What's interesting is I don't say it at all. I just say, this is John, and he married my mom. Mm. And I'm sure he hates that. Like, really? That's it? Yeah. But it's like, sorry, dude. I was a grown-ass woman. Oh, I said it again. And that's not the role you're ever going to play in my life.
Right.
You make my mom happy, and I'm glad for that. That's all. Awesome. Yeah. But you're not getting a name. Sorry, friend. It's John. And my kids call him Grandpa.
Yep.
And I think that's sweet and that's their choice and that's fine. And I think it's actually good for this lady to hear you and I talk about this a little, because if she makes it about her, she's going to ruin any relationship she might have with these people.
Yeah, that's a really interesting mm-hmm. point, because I think part of the problem I have is and it's a natural desire. Look, I hold nobody at blame for this, but if you're the guy coming in, you're the stranger coming into the family or to the relationship or to the structure or the whatever, you are going to have this natural desire to want to fit in. And in this particular case, John is a very energetic guy. He wants to get in, get stuff going, let's go. He loves planning and helping and all of those things. That the act of doing that is somewhat repellent from my perspective, because I want it to be on my terms how much I accept you as the new father figure, or the new patriarchal dude, you know?
Right.
So it's really tough for me when they're more excitable, and it would be a lot easier for me if there was, if the approach was, you know, coming from more of a stance of quiet humility. And again, this is not a knock against John. This is just me and my perceptions, because he's awesome and he's treating my mom great and he's making her life way better than it ever would have been. And I am really thrilled for those guys, but it's hard for me. And so I can see how you'd want to be temperate in how you approach creating that relationship with those kids. Those kids probably would still, even no matter what, there's always going to be a weird kind of tiny piece of resentment, because you are not their mom or their dad or whatever. Right. You know?
And there's a thing that, you know, that sort of preambles any of this that Miss O needs to do. And that is, have a conversation with the guy you're dating about those kids and his experience. And if you can do your best to not make it about you, like, you must not be into me enough because you haven't made me hang out with your kids. There's no meaning there mm-hmm. other than they're his own experience. You got to find out what that is. There's a lot of guessing and mind reading that tends to go on in couples. And it's even worse when one of the partners is grieving and, or has, you know, she might be thinking, well, I burned dinner, and I'm sure his first wife never burned dinner. So she could really go down the rabbit hole of this if she doesn't keep it in check. And I think the best way to do that is to make sure you have a good support network of other stepmoms or, you know, whether it's official group that you attend, some kind of support group, or it's friends that you have that you can process with. You find a friend that's not going to say, oh, well, I'm sure he just doesn't love you, you know? You want the friend who's like, okay, calm down and let's talk this through. As well as potentially like your own counselor or whatever, so that you can get your weirdo out and not do it on him.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be making up stuff that isn't real.
Right.
Because you're worried you're being compared to somebody.
Right.
When the reality is, he's probably just sad periodically about her. And it's probably complicated with his stepkids. Who knows what that relationship is with his own children, with those kids? You don't know that. Maybe she does, but find that out, find out what his wishes are. Yeah. And then respect that. I think there's sometimes this, we want a given, we want it to be a given that someone respects us, or, you know, I've joined this family and now you should all welcome me with open arms, rather than maybe a more understanding approach. Like, yeah, holy crap, you guys had, you had a rough go here, and I'm just going to smile and be nice. And if you need me, I'll be in, I'll be there, but get your needs met somewhere else. Don't expect this new family to, you know, instantly be that. I had a client the other day was talking about how much she hates her in-laws. And I said to her, you know, let's look at the formula of expectations minus reality equal happiness. Mm. So your expectations are, we are a family and it should be best friends. That is what she's expecting. Well, that's not reality. Reality is you have to develop a relationship with people who've had one forever and you just join that family. You expect them to just accept you and all your quirks and, you know, so you got to lower your expectations. So she is going to the next family dinner, by the way, with the expectation of just having good food.
Yeah.
And then anything else is a bonus. And it, think of the difference when you lose sort of that entitlement to, I get this thing automatically. And often when families are blended, that is what the idea is. We should be best friends and we should go on family vacations. And it's almost this false picture of what should be happening.
Yeah.
And reality is never that.
Yeah. You're like, you're the replacement dad, you're the replacement mom. And that should just be a given. And everybody will go, oh, well, this is the, okay, I got the roles are all filled again. Let's move on, right, as if nothing has changed. And that never, ever happens.
And as a kid who's been through it, and we were adults, but you still feel like a kid when you lose somebody.
Yeah.
And these guys are 22 and 23. They are our kids, you know, that they're probably still reeling. I mean, they were 20 and 21 when it happened. Yeah. And right at the time of their life where they're trying to figure out what they're doing and, you know, and now they're half alone in the world. And I don't know what their real father's like. I mean, if you can see, if your heart can go out to them because you can hear maybe what you and I are saying and sort of extrapolate from that, that you need to be careful and that your role, you need to let them define your role.
Yeah.
And then not put this guy in a position to try to force something.
Yeah.
Because that's when he's going to then think his dead wife is perfect and you're a nag. So, you know, I mean, you really, not that you have to spend your whole life not sharing your feelings, but I think you have to, you know, sort of not force stuff that will come naturally with time.
Right.
So that ring will come off his hand at some point.
Right.
And he'll invite you to meet his stepkids at some point. And if he doesn't, he has his reasons, but you, you know, you can talk to him about it, but also make sure you're getting most of your frustration out with somebody else around those topics.
Right. That would make sense to me. Brian, you come from a family where there's some stepfathers and stuff like that.
Do you
does that all ring true to you? Or
oh, it totally does. Yeah. Similar kind of thing. I mean, and similar even in the way that I referred to my late stepdad as Barney and still refer to my stepmom as Diane. And again, you know, it comes from being, an adult or close or well older when they both got married. I guess when my mom remarried, I was about 11. But my dad actually, or stepdad actually, had a previous marriage. He had previous children from that, or one previous child from that marriage. And I met that person once, and that was it. Met his, I guess it would be my half
brother.
No, what? He wouldn't be half brother, I guess, because it was not a blood.
Oh, right.
Isn't that the deal with half, is that you've got to be a blood relative?
Just stepbrother then, yeah. I guess.
So he's just your friend.
I guess stepbrother, yeah.
He's just a guy.
He's just
met.
My friend. Well, met him once, but he you know, he did the same thing where he kept those very, very, kept that other side very, very separate.
Well, it's funny how you said that. That's a funny, I feel like there's something interesting in the way you said that. So, and in the way Wendy said it, you are just kind of another guy. You are just, and in the case of the dad coming in to the family, to the kids, and even in some ways to the new spouse, you're sort of a stranger,
right?
I mean, in a very real way, certainly to the kids. And so to presume otherwise is to make something up that isn't true. And the only way to get past all of that, I think, is to step back a couple of steps and go, I'm here if you need me. You know, I don't need to be up in everyone's face. I don't have to plan everything. I want to be able to help. I want to be able to do things, but I don't want to, I don't want to overbear.
Force myself. Right. I don't want to be forced on you. I don't want you to feel like you, you know, we're these two kids stuck in a playpen together that have to play and be best friends.
Right. And the reason there that ever exists, that pressure to feel that, is because somebody's ego is involved. One of the parents, one of the, this doesn't mean we're in love unless our kids get along. So it's, again, they've, you sort of set yourself up with these expectations for your own ego needs or your own, well, this will feel better if our kids love each other. Everyone wants that.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if you make it about you, which is sort of my theme today, if you make it about you, you are going to cause problems. Mm-hmm. And especially in a marriage, if it's always about you, I mean, I had the same couple, which she doesn't like the in-laws. You know, I watched his face as I had him alone for a minute and I said, are you exhausted trying to keep her happy? And he about collapsed. Like, and these are, you know, they've been married 2 years. And I was like, yeah, well, we got to change that because you aren't in charge of her happiness. And you could see this spouse, if it's all about your contentment with, oh, your stepkids love me, and you need that for your own ego stroking or whatever, you're going to wear him out and you're going to demand things of him that he's still probably not capable of. And it's not the relationship you ultimately want.
Sure.
So that's why I say, find a friend, dial a friend, get a therapist, go on walks, make sure your life is good. You have two kids that still very much need you and they may need him. And he's got to do the same thing in your family. He's got to walk in and say, hey, there's another dad out there and we got a co-parent and your kid's 7 or 9 or whatever. And I mean, he's the one who should be writing in.
Yeah, yeah, right. No doubt. He's got a hell of a job ahead of him. It's the same kind of job. Like it's a similar problem. That's interesting because really she's not maybe seeing it from that perspective, obviously, because hers is a pretty, you know, it's hot and bright where she's standing as well. But
yeah,
he's got the same, maybe worst end of it. And he's got to figure out a way to integrate himself and ingratiate himself to your kids. And the older the kids, the harder, I have to imagine. Like you said, your kids are calling him Grandpa John. My kids are calling him John because they, for the most part, Nick's kind of caught in this weird limbo where he kind of does both because he was only 2 months old or 3 months old and dad passed away. So John kind of is the only real grandfather he's truly kind of known.
Yeah.
But the other kids are old enough to remember and they're like, well, yeah, it's not the same. So
we
don't feel comfortable calling him that. The trick is being okay with it. Being able to go, I understand that. That's totally cool. If they ever do call me that, it'll be because I really did earn it. And that's going to take time and trouble and pain. And, you know, it's not going to be easy for me to keep my mouth shut at certain times. But I'm going to have to learn to do it.
There's certain families, I'm trying to protect you from saying too much. There are certain families that are definitely, this just comes more naturally. They're just kind of embrace the person walking in and yay, you're part of this and this is great. And that's great.
Right.
But don't talk to them because that's probably more rare than, I can't think of anything good. That's rare, but pretty rare. And it definitely does exist. And lucky for you if that's happening. But I would say one thing that she should be flattered about, and that is that he had such a good marriage that he wants to do it again. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you got divorced obviously for reasons and you want to do it again, which is also kind of miraculous. Right. And in his case, it's really a compliment and you'll at some point be grateful for that first wife as you know, if you marry him and you guys progress in your life, you'll have a place for her. You'll understand it if he handles it well. So I would also recommend this. If you guys are really going to get married, go see a counselor right away. Like don't wait until the fighting starts. Like just you will preempt and prevent so much just by learning some strategies before you start to do it with parenting, with living in the same house when she has two kids, how to handle the stepdad, all that stuff. There's so much you can do on the front end that will save you so much on the back end. So, you know, if it's not all natural and la-di-da, which it rarely is, then there really is help. I think my theme every week is go get therapy.
It kind of is. Well, I mean, it's not, I don't even think it's a self-serving thing because you perform.
No,
therapy.
I don't want any more clients.
No,
stop
you're good.
Me.
You're full. Yeah, it's just that it's not that so much as that it's just a true thread that runs through all these things that there's help for pretty much all these issues we bring up.
Right. And I think it's the preventative piece, you know. I get so this couple that's been married 2 years, I'll see them 4 or 5 times. They'll have skills for life, and maybe they'll need counseling a little bit here or there later, versus the ones who have to come in for 2 years because they are a mess and we're unraveling everything. You know, right. I think there's just ways to do this well. And she's already in her mind, you know, she's writing in for a reason. She's concerned. And she did ask one question that I haven't addressed yet, which is, will he ever move on? Like, can you actually love two people in a lifetime? And the answer is, yeah, there's a million cases of history that say, mm-hmm. yes, you can. I think if you want to make it about that, then that might start to corrode your actual relationship. Like, oh, he'll always just love her.
Yeah.
And I'm always being compared. And that's why I would say the counseling would be helpful, but also your own work of making sure you are doing the things in your life that keep you happy, fulfill you. Because if you start to think, well, I'm not good enough and I'm stop exercising and I'm going to eat crappy and I'm going to, you know, stay in this job I hate, or, you know, you can then become the grouchy partner that is, you're just affirming this fear you have. You're making it true that he's mm-hmm. not going to love you as right. much as he loves her.
Right. And I think it's important for me to say this one last thing
All right.
that I can get out of my system. And that is this, it is. So to people who are the kids of this, whether you're grown or you're young, it is actually possible to love this new person in your life. It's a different kind of love. It's a different way. It's a different kind of respect. It's a different kind of all those things than it was with your real dad or your real mom. But it's still there. And that can grow, and that can be, you know, that can be a good thing. So when I see John, it's hugs. It's how's it going? It's let's chat about this. Let's do that. Hey, thanks for this thing. Hey, great. Whatever. Like, it can be a very positive relationship, but don't go thinking that you have to, that there's some kind of rule that says you have to pretend like everything is exactly the way it was, or this is exactly the same person that was taken from you or whatever. I just think it's important, because if you go into it thinking you have to do some full-blown acceptance, or the opposite, where you have to do full-on rejection, neither of those two ends, I think, are going to be happy. The truth is in the middle there. It has been for me.
Right. And conversely, with the person coming into the family, be yourself. Yeah. You don't need to replace that other person, because you can't.
Right.
And you're going to irritate everyone if you try.
And it's okay to say that you can't. It's okay. It's not a, that's actually a great piece of truth. You can just hold that truth and keep you warm at night. Like, it's not a problem.
Right.
So yes. So this is not, and none of this is code for Scott and Wendy don't like their, whatever we call them.
What are you guys trying to say here?
Yeah. What do we call him? We don't even know what to call him.
We don't know what to call him, but we know that we love him, and we know that he's, you know, my mom would not be happy. Yes, my mom's so much happier now. Not happier than when she was with my dad, but happier than she was when she was alone. Makes a huge difference for somebody, especially her age. Like, this, I can't imagine my mother right now at 70 whatever without this great constant companionship. It would suck for her.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want that.
No, of course. And let me say this thing, that he is nothing like our dad. And so we have this, it's actually easier for us, I think, on some level, because there is no.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a replacement.
No, not at all. Yeah.
It's not like, it's not like his brother, where he's got a mole in a different place or something weird. You know?
Right. It's like half, half tight. He's, I mean, John is Italian and loud, and our dad was like just smiling and
chill
sitting there
and relaxed. Yeah.
I've gotten in more fights with John than, I mean, I had one argument with dad my whole life, and that was, he said I could be a doctor if I wanted, and I said I didn't want to, and he's like, but you could if you want to, and I'm like, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
That and John and I met, and we argued about the price of airline tickets back east, like yelling it for 10 minutes in front of the whole family.
Yeah.
And I was like, the hell is this? Don't fight with old men, and he and I just the other day had another fight. I mean, it's weird.
Yeah.
And it's because he's passionate and interesting, and actually he and I totally see eye to eye in politics, which is kind of crazy. And so there's really, it's just a different person. So he's more of a family member friend versus it's my dad, because you're orphaned when your parent dies.
Right.
That's the reality.
Right.
And you you'll never get that back. But can you build new relationships? Absolutely.
Sure.
And does time really help with all of this?
Yes.
Of course.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. It does.
So just be patient.
Yeah.
And
pretend it's the weird redheaded cousin you didn't know you had. or I guess in this case, pretend you're that weird redheaded cousin that nobody knew they had. And you just come in and they got to get used to you. It's like a new roommate. You know, it takes a while. Eventually you're on the couch laughing at the same TV show. But for a while, who took my spaghetti? I'll bet it was you. And you start thinking each other suck. But that all gets better.
Right. And she's probably like, hey, guys, I wrote this email about me and I'm the adult, not the kid of this. But I think she needs to hear that perspective. But I also think she can recognize, you know, her role coming in. And he's not inviting her to meet these kids. So going back again to working on their communication. And then, so she needs to know what he needs to meet those needs.
Yeah.
And that is really big. If he needs her to just stay away from those stepkids forever, and he can tell her his reasons and just trust me and let that be happen. She needs to do that and not be like, well, he must not love me. No, that isn't what that is.
Right.
It's what it really is. So figure out what that really is. Cause I think sometimes the games get played in our heads and, you know, and we have a romantic view of what love and relationships are, and the real life is so much different. You know, the initial meeting of someone is the movie kind, the kind we always watch and think is so great.
Yeah.
Real love is such a different thing afterwards. And so, you know, if she can focus on that, and she's got her own divorce that she's dealing with, a marriage that obviously ended. You know, what was in that needs to be changed for her, and deal with all of that. Go to therapy.
Yeah, because you know the sequel to Sleep in Seattle would be I spilled milk in the fridge and forgot to tell you and left it in there and turn off the light. That should, you know what I mean? Like, you got mail. The next one is you've got halitosis. Like, it's constantly, right? It's constantly evolving into real life away from romantic life, and you're totally dead straight.
Right. Yeah.
Now, Wendy, before we let you go, I got a quick text from a friend. I'm not going to say the person's name because I don't know if they want me to even do this, but it's a compliment to you. So here it is. I'm going to read it to you. This is during today's segment. It says, I seriously love your sister, and the segment you guys do really helps people. I just wanted to say thanks. So on behalf of this person and all of the TMS audience, it is awesome when you come on, and we really appreciate it.
For sure.
Hey, you're welcome. Hey, by the way, I just got to – you know how you always ask me to pimp stuff.
Yeah,
I'm going to pimp something that happened in the past.
Pimp it. Oh, wow. You're a time lord. Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So Adam and I did, it was like a seminar for a bunch of teenagers in the neighborhood about social media and their parents. And they asked us to do it. They asked us to do it because they know Adam's like the web guy and then I'm the therapist. And I just would like all of you to know, I acted like I thought social media was okay.
You acted like it.
It took all I had. And Adam, and of course Adam thinks it's okay. So he's just like, we are not. And we took a very like, stop being scared that your kids are going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. Like, you know, how it's always kids these days, whatever. Yeah, so we took a very different approach, which was, hey, this is how their brains work. This is the psychology behind the dinging on your phone and why it seems like your kids can't da 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 da, and then like what to do with it, and so it was not a fear based like they are gonna be destroyed, and so Adam kept saying, you know, social media is not bad, social media is not bad, and I just stood there smiling.
Well, as somebody, it's probably harder for you because you literally do have people who come in with really messed up lives where a key component of that is the misuse of said social media or other things. Like for all the casual playing of World of Warcraft that Brian and I do when we have limited time and once in a while we get in with our friends and play, you get people in there whose marriages are on the brink of destruction because the guy can't stop playing. So that perspective must give you pause when you're put in a position where you have to either support or not support a thing, and have Adam going, yeah, social media is cool if we just learn how to be moderate, and you're sitting there going, yeah.
No one knows how.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the ER doctor watching kids jump on a trampoline, you know? Like,
right. You know that, you know that shin's going to go straight up into his leg and yeah, exactly.
I know it's true.
Knees aren't supposed to bend that way. Excellent.
There's my pimp.
Oh, good. Nice pimping job there. You should get a cane and a fur coat.
I'm pimping myself. People look. I look how good I am at being.
And a feather boa and a fur coat.
Walking the street going, hey, baby. Shut up, baby. I know it. All right. Excellent. Wendy, she doesn't have anywhere to send you, so don't go to her Twitter account because she doesn't have one. But we'll have more in the future right here on Therapy Thursday. Thanks so much, Wendy.
You're so welcome.
See you later. Guys. Bye now.
See ya.
Okay. See how much trouble we got in, with the stepdad.
With the step-parents, yeah.
Yeah. With my, I really don't know what to call him. It's not easy for me for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, it was, you know, he actually came to me right at the beginning. Barney didn't say, yeah, just call me Barney.
Yeah.
You know, and
see, that's cool. Nice way to break the wind. What's it called? Break the
break
ice.
The ice.
Break the ice, not the wind. My name is Barney.
Nice way to break the wind.
Excellent.
He did that too.
Oh, good. Well, what good are you as a stepfather if you can't crack one off once in a while? Exactly. All right, Brian, let's get straight in some emails and then do our business to get out of here in time. What is who brought it to us? Who's bringing us
They're
emails?
They're brought to you by Another Way Around, Life and Gaming Podcast Deluxe. Visit awaycast.com to experience video commentary, live streams, interviews, and of course, the Awaycast weekly podcast. The Awaycast runs regular contests with loot giveaways and will keep you humored and enlightened in both life and gaming. Wow. Go to awaycast.com.
Fantastic. Holly wrote in. Holly White, heir to the Walter White buried barrel full of money fortune, says, okay. Hey guys, just thought I'd chime in Spoiler. About people asking if there are nuts in peanut butter. It's still a bit odd. However, there is a possible legit reason. It's what the kids say now, legit.
Mm-hmm.
Does your son say that a lot, by the way?
No, not at all.
You know what? I'm proud of him. Tell him that because my daughter was real bad at in high school.
Proud that you don't say legit.
They come home and go, oh my gosh, Dad, we heard the most legit song today. I'm like, you are not allowed to talk like that
really?
In this house.
Oh, geez. That was too legit to quit.
That was 2 years ago. Maybe that's all run its course because Carter doesn't do it. Neither does Nick, but whatever. The one common thread I've noticed through youth, though, is this. Because we did it, and now they do it, and their generation after them will do it, and the generation before us did it, and that's saying like all the time.
Yeah.
You notice that? There's just no way around it.
No, it's not. It's become, sadly, it's become the replacement for or, you know.
So I do this at home where they'll say it a lot in a conversation. We'll say, hey, how'd your field trip go? And they'll go, okay, so we were like, and I'll go, one. And they'll go, stop it, Dad. So we were on the bus, and that friend was like, two. So I count them off. And it pisses everybody off. They hate it. Anyway, hi, guys. Just thought I'd chime in about people. Oh, about the nuts. All right. So there is a possible legit reason. Peanuts, despite having a nut in their name, are not actually nuts. They're legumes. So some people can be able to eat peanuts, but not be able to eat any other kind of nut because peanuts are not truly nuts. So maybe when they ask this, what they are really saying is they have an allergy to actual nuts, not legumes. I actually know a guy who can have peanuts, but no other ones. So I can see.
Oh, really?
Yeah, isn't that weird? That's kind of the
opposite.
Wow,
that is weird. That's like, yeah.
I mean, the opposite of what you usually see, I suppose.
Right, right.
I mean, I have friends who, Kim can't eat sushi without breaking out in horrible, painful dots all over her body.
Oh, that's such a bummer.
And every time she has sushi, by accident or what I mean by that is like
how do you accidentally eat
well
sushi?
She used to be able to go, okay,
I didn't cook this fish all the way.
Well, it used to be like if I have soy paper, because we think the problem is the seaweed.
Right,
like, well, if I have soy paper, it's fine, but they use the same knives sometimes, and so she'll still get a bit of it, and the more she has, the worse it is. And last time was, I mean, she just, it was terrible. It was awful.
Wow.
And it lasted like 2 weeks and it was really painful. She could hardly sleep. So you never know what you're going to be, you know, what's going to freak your body out. But what was my point here? Oh, so I can see him asking this if he forgot to read the label. So she's backing up those peanut people. You know,
yeah, could be pine nuts, could be pistachio nuts.
Now, if you walk into a Five Guys and say
pistachio nuts.
If you walk into a Five Guys and say, are there peanuts in here? Then you're stupid because they're everywhere in there.
Right. Is there butter in this peanut butter?
Yeah, there's some butter in this here peanut butter. What the hell's going on? All right, time to tallywhack it. We haven't done this in a while because we didn't have a show last week. Hold on. I burped. All right, here we go. Bring it on, Cleo.
Tally belch.
Tally belch. Time for the tally belch. Actually, I have a pretty good one for that. Have you heard this one? Hold on, let me play this for you. You heard this right here? It's pretty good.
Wow, that's a very good one. Who did that?
That's me and Dave came to do. Should we tallywhack it?
Make it so.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Cleo. Hi, Cleo. Hello. Hello.
Cleo. Got to say her name three times. Cleo,
she's,
Cleo,
she's breathing
Cleo
into the mic, but standing or turning her head away to speak. She's got it backwards. Get the other way. Are you there, Cleo? Hello, Cleo. Good morning. It's been a while. Maybe her microphone has seen better moments or something changed because she's on. I bet she can hear us. Probably can hear us. No, the gakagoo kagakagoo, Idar Kuchinski, is Nicole Spagnolo.
I think Ikari Dushinsky was asking if the burp was Veronica.
Oh, no, that's not Veronica. I don't think she's ever burped on
the air. Oh, sure she has.
On
the air?
Yeah.
I know I've been around her when she's burped.
Oh, yeah, she's got no problem burping.
She can rip one out
Dude, the first thing she told me at Nerdtacular this year, she ran up, hugged me, said, hey. I go, hey, what's going on? She goes, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad to be here. I almost didn't make it. I said, what happened? She goes, I ate some Burmese food and it gave me the runs. Like, you are just the cute as a button.
Yeah.
With your runny butt and your farts and your burps. She's
so
great.
Cleo's saying her phone is being a dick. She wants to call us.
Okay, call us. Go for it. I'm removing her from the group. You can call us now. My wife's standing over here in sequins. What's that about? What's that all? You're all shiny. You look like a... Look at this. She's like Vegas. That's weird. Are you
don't go through don't go to TSA, don't go through the metal detectors wearing that.
Yeah, don't go through the metal detectors at the thing or else you're
Tina got felt up because she wore a top like that through the
Gosh, TSA. Really?
Yeah.
That's not fun unless you want it. And she doesn't want it.
She doesn't want it.
Cleo, good morning.
Hi.
Hi. Your phone's being weird, yeah?
My phone's being a jerk. I upgraded to iOS 7, and now all of a sudden it's like, let's use the speaker. No, wait, let's let Siri do it. Shut up.
Skype is funky. They need to update it. There's been some issues with the Skype version for iOS since the big update. I'm sure.
Well, as long as we can blame them, I'm happy.
Yeah, blame Microsoft. It's no problem.
Let's do it.
So,
and now somebody's calling you.
Yeah,
I'm not talking to them.
All right.
They can pound sand.
Is that what the grandparents used to call a landline? Is that what I'm hearing back there?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, that is
still
a landline.
Plugged into a wall? What year is it? That's crazy.
I know, right? That's crazy. Because my parents need the ability to call me. And I'll tell you this much, if they try to call there and I don't answer it, I guarantee you my phone's going to blow up in my face in about 2 minutes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Where are you?
That's awesome. Well, it's great to have you back as always.
Thanks.
Sorry we missed you last week, but it's your turn and chance to sum up the week's hilarity coming from the chat room and all elsewhere. So how'd we do this week? I'm anxious to hear.
We did pretty good. Somebody I've never seen in the chat room before called Hooray for Movies, which I like their name very much.
Yeah.
Said that when you were talking about Miley Cyrus's infinite tongue, that can we all just agree that as long as someone in the Cyrus family is going through a naked and slutty phase, let's just be happy it's not Billy Ray.
Good point.
I don't know. I wouldn't. Well, okay, sure. I'll go with that. For once, I want to see him in a tight, weird bikini with his tongue out. I think it'd be funny. Just one time. Once. Just as a parody. For us to go, okay, good, the whole family's lost it. That'd be great. Let's do that. Anyway, all right.
All right. What else were we talking about here? Oh, when you were talking about the shootout at the Salt Lake City shopping mall.
Yeah.
El Bacho says that the Dick Free Zone is the rejected name for Lilith Fair.
That's pretty good.
Nice.
Yep.
That sounds about right.
All righty, let me see.
Is Lilith Fair still a thing, Brian? They still tour?
I don't think it is. Okay. I haven't heard of Lilith Fair in years. Right. I don't know why that is. If Sarah McLachlan just gave up.
Because she was behind that, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Her and other people.
All her time has been taken up with saving sad dogs and cats.
Yes. Yeah. Sad puppies.
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
I'm going to cry now.
Oh, don't cry.
Okay. When you were talking about cloud scores, Archineer says, always reveal your cloud score to potential employers after the 200 Facebook posts on your birthday. Always.
That's a good idea.
Yes, definitely.
That's damn sound advice, actually. I don't even think that's as funny as it is prescient and important for our generation to remember. That's good. Nice job.
That's just smart. Mm. Smart thinking, Archineer.
That's right.
Mm. All right. When you were talking about the Gravity movie, is that a George Clooney thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Road Warrior said that the whole plot of that movie is actually that Sandra Bullock has to keep the satellite moving at 5,500 miles per hour or it blows up.
Nice. I like the speed references for that movie. I enjoy them. Nice job.
Yes. And we have two for today. Schnago wants you to know that special ask on the screen at McDonald's actually is requesting fresh spit. Be careful.
Ooh. He may be right.
I'm very careful.
I never send things back anymore. Like when I worked at Chi Chi's, I watched the guy send a steak back for being undercooked, and then I watched the cook spit on it and cook it in there and then send it back to the guy. So I have learned, like, if it comes back a little rare,
one,
just live with it.
Mm-hmm. I just yelled one because you said like. Okay.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. The winner for today is the tadpole in general, because while they feel bad that Kim stepped in the big deuce and that your neighbors were forced to smell the magical cacophony of pet colon,
yeah,
they still think it was Terpster.
Oh, it's still a little too warm after all this time. Gross.
Yep. Now, fresh. Before yeah. we let Cleo go, we need a confession. No. I know we're running a little long.
Ooh, confession, oh, no, confession. No.
You can't dangle this murder thing out there and not give us some details.
The naked truth about a Sandy hamburger.
All right, lay it on us. How'd it go? What
All
happened?
All right. When I was in high school, I used to be part of the soccer team, the varsity squad, and we used to have to run to the soccer fields. And I was running to the soccer fields one day, and a car drove by, and I thought it was my brother in our family car. So I yelled, "Chris," to get his attention. And the car pulled over really quick, and this girl and a guy got out, and they came running at me, and we got into a fight, and I don't know what it was about.
Wow.
But it was a fist, like a literal fist fight, like they jumped me in the middle of the field. So I beat the crap out of her, because she was small, and I'm a moose. So he picked her up and threw her in the car, and they took off.
Okay.
Well, I recognized her, but I didn't know who he was. I knew she was 2 years older than me in high school. So about a week later, I was up at the soccer fields doing something, and a couple of police cars pulled up, and they talked to my coach, and then my coach called me over, and he said, "You need to go with them." And I was like, "Well, why?" And he said, "They need to talk to you about what happened the other day." And I'm thinking, "You're kidding me, right? They jumped me, and that's what this is about." Well, yeah. Apparently the girl had gone missing.
Uh-oh.
And they had found her body 2 days later.
Oh! Wait, this is the girl you beat up?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They had found her body 2 days later, and they wanted to question me about it since I'm the last person who had a physical altercation with her.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, really? It's soccer practice, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, it ended up actually being her boyfriend, the guy who was with her when they jumped me. They were on a bender smoking a lot of weed, and he killed her and just hid the body.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you were questioned.
For a slight bit of time there, at the age of 16, I was a suspect in a murder investigation.
Oh, my gosh. Now, I just want to say this for the record. That is slightly better of an experience than that one I told just not even a year ago. You guys remember when I was walking around the park with the dog? In the middle of the day, and the guy pulls me over and says, "Yeah, we heard about some guy flashing his junk at the school, and he's wearing the same color shorts and shirt you are." I don't know why that's worse, but I think that's worse, because then you get labeled pervert man.
Right, exactly. And nobody clears your name, because that guy, you know, at least the boyfriend got found out. There's not this cloud of suspicion over your head.
And even though it kind of all worked out, at the end of that conversation, he waited till the very end to say, "Well, it's probably not you, because the guy they're talking about, they're claiming, is about 450 pounds. I'm like, you could have said that at the beginning. I'm clearly not 450.
Clearly.
So, Cleo, you made me feel better about my
situation. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad my brush with the law made you feel better about not being fat.
Good job. Have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next time for more of Cleo's Licking. Bye now.
See
you, Cleo.
Cleo gets her licks in, if you know what I'm saying, there with that fight. Goodness.
No kidding. I'm not messing with Cleo.
No, never, ever. All right. Listen, folks, if you want to learn more about our show and help us and support us and see stuff and do all those things, everything we do is at frogpants.com/TMS. Links to all of it, including our Twitter accounts, which are Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. Thank you, everybody who came, all of our guests, all of our friends, all of our listeners. Brian, you got Coverville today?
I do have a Coverville today, I believe, because his birthday is in about a week. Steve Miller, the Steve Miller Band. So Fly Like an Eagle, Keep on Rockin', Take the Money and Run, stuff like that. You're going to hear covers of the Steve Miller Band. By the way, Jet Airliner, it's a cover.
What? Is it really?
That's not even his original song. Big old Jet Airliner. Nope, by a guy named Paul Pena.
This one right here.
That's the one.
That is a cover. Yep. I have no idea.
That's a cover. And even though I've played the original version on a couple times on Coverville, I'm probably going to play the original again because so many people are surprised to hear that it's a cover. So
wow, that's great.
So listen for that later today.
All right. About 3 o'clock live right here on the stream. Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Right here.
Join us or...
With my new sweet HD camera, yo.
Yeah. We'll get that aspect ratio right and you'll be rocking it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it'll save you a lot of CPU cycles if you just go straight through that thing.
Yeah, and skip cam twist. I'll do that and not worry about having like switching for the doggy cam or something like that.
One quick note. I've, you know, I've been hanging on for dear life with Snow Leopard on this machine because of the needs that I have with, what do you call it? Wiretap and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, starting to be that time where lots of unsupported things are happening. So like the newest version of Chrome, the browser, not available for Snow Leopard anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Latest version of some other software I use for FTP stuff.
No.
Not available. Like, it's starting to happen, and I've got to figure something out. It's pissing me off.
Oh, jeez.
And those guys aren't. They still, their statement on their website is the same.
Their website, yeah, they're done. Ambrosia Software is done.
They're out. There's no way they're doing it. There's no way. Why don't you open source that and give it to somebody?
God, no kidding. Yes.
You big gnarly buttholes.
Gnarly.
Gnarly. Gnarly buttholes. Come on.
Gnarly buttholes.
All right. That's it. Let's get out of here with a tune of our own. Well, we didn't make it up, but we'll play it anyway. What do you got?
All right. Continuing today's theme of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I'll make this quick. The big song from that movie. By the way, everybody forgets about the Cheer Up Charlie song because it's so unmemorable. Because, I mean, you remember, you know, the Golden Ticket. You remember I Want It Now and... Yep. Oompa Loompa's songs. Everybody forgets about the Cheer Up Charlie, and there's a reason for that.
Right.
Anyway, Pure Imagination, the big song from that. Here is a cover by the Smoking Popes from their 1997 album Destination Failure. It's a great cover, and enjoy it.
That sounds really good. Let's do it. It really is the best looking toaster pastry I've ever seen.
The best looking toaster pastry ever.
All right, here we go. It's Pure Imagination. What does that remind me of? Oh, Pure Energy. Pure Energy.
Pure Energy.
Oh, I still love that.
I want to know.
That had all kinds of Star Trek samples in it, didn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Information Society, baby.
Love those guys. All right. Pure Imagination. See you guys on Monday for a whole new week of the Morning Stream. Ish. Come on now.
Frogpants.com. audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Kneel before Zeus!